we present the news quiz with your chairman, Barry Took.
Hello and welcome. We start the quiz with this splendid cutting from the North Yorkshire News.
The open day at the Georgian Theatre Royal was a tremendous success. Manager Les Jobson reports that they were overwhelmed with people, both from Richmond.
One of them, no doubt, being Mr. R. Smith from Richmond, who sent us the cutting. It's time now to meet the panel, and in this age of revolutionary upset, great changes have hit the programme too. Our regular panellists have all gone into hiding for the weekend, so let's meet instead, on my right, the old News Quiz lackey Simon Hoggart and his teammate, News Supremo, Michael Burke. On my left, a return visit from the Independent's Mark Stein and the radio version of Stephen Fry. We open round one with Catriona Young reading us this eye-catching headline from the Today newspaper.
I'll spill beans on Swindon.
A threatening claim spotted by Herman John, who comes from Glasgow. So he's got nothing to worry about. Simon Hoggart, welcome back. Here's your first question. Who saw to it that the winner was a good egg?
Oh, Edwina Curry went to Romania to supervise their election there, to be one of the onlookers. And having been sacked as a minister here, she's clearly bidding to be a minister in Romania. And she appeared. She gave an interview to the Times in which she said it was quite clear that the elections there had been absolutely fair and wonderful. Her motives are so completely obvious, are they not, that she wants to become a minister in the new Romanian government, to whom she's been sucking up so much, so she can tell them that they can't eat anything. And they haven't got anything to eat in the first place. So Edwina's going to go out there and say, no, you can't eat yogurt and goat fat. And,
that's all they've got.
Exactly.
All refers to the Romanians who celebrated their first free elections for decades by sweeping the old guard out of office and then sweeping them back in again. In one respect, the result did indicate one return to Western democratic values. The Liberal Party only got 10% of the vote. Michael Burke, welcome to the programme. Here's your first question. Who's made sure he's taken a rise out of Glasnost?
You promised the first one would be easy.
Well, it is easy when you think that the answer is President Gorbachev.
He's the only Russian the News Quiz knows.
That's right.
Are you suggesting that President Gorbachev, at this time of horrendous economic disaster in the Soviet Union, has awarded himself a pay rise?
Yes, I am.
Where did this news come in?
It comes from Simon Hoggart, who is... Who's even
my treacherous captain, who hasn't...
He's about to tell you the answer. It's all right, because all the points count.
He just told you the answer, Barry.
Yes, it's there. There's no problem about it. It's there, black and white. President Gorbachev awarded himself a pay rise.
Quite right. Excellent. 1 point.
Are you sure you're not Richard Ingram?
Michael, you're absolutely right. This is all about Soviet President Gorbachev. What a cheek. This week was the first Russian to copy the business principles of the West and award himself a £600 a week pay rise, which means that with the current ruble exchange rate, he's better off to the tune of two pairs of jeans and a Kylie Minogue album. And while we're in the Eastern Bloc, here's a poignant tale from the pages of the Daily Telegraph.
Martina Navratilova has been back to her hometown in Czechoslovakia to see for herself if the reports about the revolution are true. I still can't believe it, she says. I don't have to be depressed about Czechoslovakia anymore. Especially, according to Martina, when she saw Alexander Dubček, the country's former leader, back in politics and speaking in Prague's Wenceslas Square to a huge crow.
Well, thanks there to the many listeners who spotted that one and sent it to us. Mark Stein, your first question. Who wants to stop party poopers putting their foot in it?
Is this a reference to a political party?
It is a political party.
Have they come up with some new scheme to ban ordure being... privatising poop, are they? That's not the latest wheeze, is it? Is this a reference to Mr. John Wakeham, the new Minister for Banana Skins?
Absolutely right.
Anyway, Mr. Wakeham has now been put in charge to see that the Conservatives come up with an impressive result that equals the Romanian one, and I think the idea of Mr. Wakeham is that the Conservatives are reduced to the National Peasant Party of Romania's score of 4%. So that's what he's going to be doing.
quite comprehensively answered. I can't add to that. And to end round one, Stephen Fry, welcome to the programme. As tradition mercilessly dictates, this question is preceded by a brief musical clue.
People talking without speaking. People hearing without listening. People writing songs that voices never share. No one did disturb the sound of silence.
The question is, Stephen, who this week exercised that right to remain silent?
I think I'm about to. So, somebody exercised the right. This is what I'm reading between the lines here. To remain.
Pretty shrewd deduction.
To remain
on your
taciturn.
You don't need to wait any longer, Barry. We have
someone in England this week made no comment.
And Simon Hoggart knows the answer.
Well, it's the police, wasn't it?
Quite right.
They didn't,
David Waddington, yes, I knew it!
He came into Harrogate and they all sat on their hands and didn't say anything.
It is the police who sentenced the Home Secretary to some minutes of sensory deprivation when he spoke to the boys in blue in Scarborough. Throughout the speech, he was heckled by a signer from the Deaf. However, we've reached the end of the first round, and the scores are remarkably Mark and Stephen 3, but Simon and Michael, for some unearthly reason, 4. Oh, well done. Yes. Round 2 begins with this violent piece from the Barnet Borough Times.
Two men were taken to Barnet General after a lengthy brawl on the top deck of a bus travelling from Barnet to Boreham Wood last weekend. One was detained for observation when it was discovered he had footprints on his head.
And our thanks there go to Kevin and Alison Aram. Simon, your next question. Who, according to popular belief, never spends a penny, at least not without careful thought?
Her Majesty the Queen.
Absolutely right.
The world's frumpiest monarch. Who, according to her dress designer, said that she doesn't go to Oxfam to get kitted out, but she might as well, I believe is his exact quote.
Really?
She's been heavily criticised for dressing in, she makes Princess Anne look fashionable. That was the charge against her.
Well, and it is Her Majesty the Queen, popular patron of countless charity shops, who is apparently very thrifty. According to the Mail, the Queen also compulsively collects little pieces of string, presumably to make new dresses out of, and tells guests invited to her underheated castles to bring an old sweater, which at least explains the regular appearances of Nigel Lawson. Michael, we go into darker reaches for your next question. Who's finding it hard to focus on empty space?
We know this one.
Oh, I'm sure we'll come up with it. Just give us.
No, okay.
Just as a slow ride.
Wait a minute.
No.
It can't take
it's coming
long
to me.
To
No, it's coming.
Doris Stokes is coming through. It's all right.
She's
on the panel next week.
This is an oblique reference to the space telescope.
Right.
The Hubble Space Telescope.
Right.
Shot into space, producing grainy pictures which are supposed to be of hidden depths of the universe never seen by man before.
Right.
But just look to you and me as if you've spilt your rice pudding over the tablecloth.
Quite right. This all refers to the team of scientists operating the Hubble Space Telescope, as you so rightly say, Michael. They've just received its first batch of extremely fuzzy satellite photos after a long wait at the chemists. According to sources close to the sun, the Hubble telescope can see far back in time, as is evidenced by the fact that it's sending back photographs of the first episode of High Chaparral, Frank Sinatra's first retirement concert, and pictures of a Labour administration. Before Mark Stein's second question, we shamelessly advertise this cutting from the Cosmos Winter Sun Catalogue.
Extra value, Beverly Park. For honeymooners, free wine on arrival. Save up to £124 for third adult sharing a room.
Miss E. Abbott of Ramsgate was clearly in holiday mood there when she said that to us. Mark, you'll have to wait even longer for your question because it's your turn to hear a clueful ditty.
Hold your hand out, you naughty boy. Hold your hand out, you naughty boy. Last night in the pale moonlight, I saw ya, I saw ya with a nice girl.
Mark, your question. Where do the dinner ladies smack of entertainment?
I thought, as Alan Corwin was aware, I was going to get the saucy Miss Whiplash sexual titillation question. This refers to a restaurant, which, of course, I've never patronised myself, but where you go along somewhere in London, and everyone is dressed up as masters and schoolgirls, and you can go there to enjoy a kind of school dinner. And the reason they've got into trouble is because these schoolgirls in their fetching gym slips and white socks have been dancing with the customers, and that's why they've had to receive six of the best and from the magistrates, and this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you, as the stern, strict magistrate asks them to bend over and dispenses British justice with the firm smack of his etc.
Cool, quite right.
I'm sweating like a pig after all that.
You didn't have to. So you got it absolutely right, and in great detail. I have here, according to Horseferry Road Magistrates Court, it's the school dinners restaurant where male diners are regularly caned by waitresses dressed as schoolgirls. The owner, Mr. Mountfalcon, was successfully prosecuted by council representative, wait for it, Mr. Barry Panto, and fined £350 for permitting dancing without an entertainment license. The restaurant's regular clientele have promised to stand by the owner, saying that if he had broken any law, they'd change it as soon as they returned to their chambers. Stephen, another one for you. Who'd make better night watchmen during the day?
Oh, these tragic old men with their cups of cocoa who are all that stand between the might of the British Army and one Irishman with a water pistol. I suppose, after the tragedy of Deal, there was some request for an inquiry as to why it is that retired policemen of 80 years and upwards are put in charge of military establishments rather than the young men who actually live there. Who are fit and honed, some of them who turn up can't see in the dark and need bottle-end spectacles and all. I mean, if they're anything like BBC security people, all they ask for is a small cabin with a television and no windows, so they can sit there all day.
And some of them are scared of the dark, which you would have thought would be a pretty basic disqualification, wouldn't it?
Oh, yes, got it absolutely right. And while we're on the matter, here's Catriona with a special invitation.
You're cordially invited to a party to be held in the prison cells area on Wednesday from 16:30 hours onwards. Fare, wine, beer, and a light finger buffet.
And we have to thank Christy Curtis of Chiswick, who somehow managed to get hold of that. And at the end of the second round, the scores are Mark and Stephen 7, but Simon and Michael still clinging on with 8. Well done. We head off into round 3 with a cutting from the Eastbourne and Hailsham Citizen.
A former solicitor who was struck off 11 years ago for using £85,000 of clients' money to bail out his property development business has failed in his attempt to get reinstatement to the profession. He now works for Eastbourne Borough Council as a fraud investigations officer.
Thanks to an anonymous Hailsham supergrass for that. Simon, your question again. Why is there a lot of messing about in boats down south?
Oh, yes, this is one of the great stirring sagas of our island history. But all that time ago, thousands of frail craft set out from the English shore to cross the perilous channel, to land on the beaches, and to rescue umpteen British holidaymakers stranded by the French air traffic control strike. Nearly there, I may not.
That's the way you look at World War II, is it?
It's the Dunkirk celebrations.
Absolutely right. This is all about the 50th anniversary of the evacuation of the little Scottish port of Dunkirk. Hundreds of the generally undersized and unsuitable craft this week massed on the south coast to make the journey again, as they have done daily, with sealing written on the side. Michael, I'm afraid even you cannot escape a short burst of clueful aid from this merry band. there's Time on My Side by the Rolling Stones, and the question is, who's getting the old show on the road again?
It's the Rolling Stones. They've
Quite
heaved
right.
themselves out of their wheelchairs. They're en route. They're going for another gig. Do they still call it gig?
Absolutely.
There's shawls are draped around their shoulders.
That's
how old are they now?
108. Yes, indeed. It's that venerable old-time dance band, the Rolling Stones, who started another massive tour, contrary to nurses' advice. As usual, the band are fronted by Mick Jagger, recently voted the world's sexiest man by Age Concern. And features him strutting on stage naked from the Zimmer frame up. Ticket agencies are currently trying to contact fans with the aid of the medium.
Let's get this straight, Barry. Are you younger than Mick Jagger?
No. But on the other hand, I have a smaller mouth.
Nature compensates.
Yes. Nature does compensate. Not in every particular. However, Mark, your question. Who says to stay young you should change your genes more often? Who says to stay young you should change your genes more often?
My colleague tells me this is an American scientist who recommends that you change your denims every season to keep up with exciting trends. Something like that? It's a fashion question?
Let Stephen take over.
They've discovered the chromosome or part of the gene that controls longevity.
That's right.
And they feel they can make people live up to about 150 now, isn't it? Or 120.
Yes, so Mick Jagger will be able to Absolutely. Tour in the year 2047.
And I will be able to do the next series of the news quiz.
Yes. And David Owen might live long enough to become Foreign Secretary again as well.
Oh, no, that's going too
far. Oh, yeah, there's no genes for that.
Now then, Stephen... Who'll take the £100 if you take the shilling?
Well, is this... there's nothing to do with the King's shilling, as it were.
It is.
Joining the service. So if you join up...
Yes.
Do they now give you £100 instead of a shilling?
No.
Or you have to give them £100 to join up, is it? Is this... If you replace the doddery old security men... in the army? No. Yeah. Is this the Navy? Are we in the Navy?
No, we're not in the Navy. We're back in the Army.
Back in the Army.
Mm. I'll give you a clue.
They'll give you £100 to leave, because now there's glasnost, peace broken out.
They'll give you £100 if you get your friends in. Is that not right?
That's right, Simon.
If you sign up your friends to join the army, they will give you £100.
Like the
book. And a lot of Green Shield stamps.
Book of the
and the Queen is joining up next week.
Absolutely right, you've got it all. The answer is army sergeants in the 3rd Queen's Regiment who are being offered £100 for every friend they persuade to enlist. Well done, Simon, you answered that brilliantly. And let me give you the scores at the end of the third round. And they are Mark and Stephen 10, Simon and Michael well in the lead with 13. We sail home into the final round with a cutting from the Daily Mirror.
Premier Margaret Thatcher yesterday criticised mums who leave their children in all-day nurseries. She advised mums to work part-time on BBC Radio 4's Woman's Hour.
Well, thank you, Nora Jellett of Warminster, for sending us that. Simon, first of two questions in this round with an Aussie tang to them. Yours is preceded by this rumbustious musical clue.
Fish have feelings, yes they do. They can be happy just like you. When they're sad, they cry a tear. And fishes get scared if you go too near.
Simon, that was Fish Have Feelings. And your question is, who couldn't tell the difference between the amber nectar and goldfish soup?
Australian sportsmen who came over here got absolutely blind drunk and were so... When the beer ran out, when the drinks were all gone, they started drinking a goldfish bowl.
No.
Including
no.
The live goldfish.
Yes, exactly so. It's all about...
I thought it was soldiers. It was tropical fish as well, though, wasn't it?
Yes, but...
And they... And
oh,
they,
it does nag on. We'll give you a bonus
and
if you shut up.
And they electrocuted... but they...
It's still going on.
No, they decided, though. When they'd eaten some of the live fish, they decided that they wanted some cook, so they took the light from the pub bar, slung it in the fish tank, and electrocuted the remaining ones, and then at them. They went further than just goldfish.
Give him the points, Barry. I don't mind.
No, well,
you got the points. He gets the bonus. Bearing that in mind, Michael, why might Australians like to hear that eating fish is good for the brain?
Oh, yes. God. If I was an Australian, the answer would dawn on me very slowly.
Ah, absolutely right.
Because didn't they do a survey which said that Australians have been badly damaged mentally by something or other? Now, was it the Sun?
We're the ones who are damaged by the Sun, so it's not the Australian newspaper.
Or was it that... It's drink, isn't it?
Drink it is.
They drink so much beer that their brain cells are dropping like great Australian flies. It's true, isn't it?
Absolutely so. It is all because, according to Australia's Minister for the Aged, Australian brains are 8 times more vulnerable to alcohol-related brain damage than anyone else's, except elderly lead guitarists. The cause is linked to a deficiency of thiamine, once believed by primitive cultures to be the principal ingredient of goldfish.
It's the hole in the Foster's layer.
Right. And of all the nation's press, it was the Times who covered this story most tactfully, saying...
When an Australian drawls, "I wouldn't give a 4X for any other beer," he could well mean that he simply can't think of the word he's searching for.
Well, that's the end of Hate Australia Week, and we move... Mark, your final one now. Who's being hectored about her budgie?
Oh, this is a reference to the Duchess of York and her best-selling book, Budgie the Helicopter, which bears a remarkable similarity to an earlier helicopter called Hector, who flew around 25 years ago. And they're now investigating to see whether the Duchess of York, who was 4 years old at that time, could have shamelessly decided to plagiarise Hector for her best-selling book. In any case, it's an academic point, because I think both these books are stolen from my earlier best-selling book, Charles the Chopper. That's the definitive helicopter book.
Yes, and that was a pop-up book, I believe.
Yes.
Let's not pursue this any further, Mark. You're absolutely right. You get your marks. It's Duchess of York, House of Windsor's answer to Princess Michael of Xerox, whose book, Budgie, the Little Helicopter, appears to bear a striking resemblance to a 25-year-old nappy ripper called Hector the Helicopter. Doubtless the virtuous authoress invented her own original story, or maybe her regal mother-in-law suggested the economy of making do with an old one. And finally, Stephen Fry, perhaps you could shed some light on this. Why might Napoleon be missing a boner part?
Yes. Poor old Napoleon, whose body has been more insulted than any other great leader in times. His membrum virile, as they say in the courts, or penis, as they say in biology books, not a word to be afraid of. It's an item to be afraid of, but not a word to be afraid of. Apparently severed from its parent body, and then sold in auction some 20 or 30 years ago or something, and has popped up again in for sale, though many Bonapartists believe that it is buried where it always was, between his legs, in 6 foot under. But anyway, it's Napoleon's willy, I think.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. And we've come more or less to the end of the contest. Before I issue the final scores, I'd like to ask the panel to read for us anything entertaining that may have come to hand. Simon, do you have a cutting for us?
This is from the News of the World, colour supplement. In 1952, his fame grew so much that Charlie Chaplin himself said, if anyone is going to replace me, it's Norman Wisdom. Even though Norman has vanished from British screens in the 70s and 80s, his worldwide popularity has grown. For 10 years now, he has been Albania's favourite funny man.
Michael, what have you brought for us?
Well, when you asked me to come on this programme, I thought I'd never find funny things in newspapers. I always say, dull. But then the Financial Times, of all papers, this week, their book reviewer, who apparently when he was a child had told this old schoolboy joke about the book called 40 Years in the Saddle by Major Bumsaw, and was flicking through the list of books about horse riding and found that there really is a book that's called 16 Hands Between Your Legs.
Well done. Mark, what have you got for us?
Well, after you've seen Michael reading the 9 o'clock news, you might want to know what's on television next, and this is from the TV Guide and the Daily News from Birmingham. 9 o'clock news, then 9:30, follow your nose, see pick of the day. It is the smut that always gets there,
yes,
isn't
of course.
It?
The audience know what they like. Stephen, what have
you... Well, some odd ones here you might like to choose. From the Derby Evening Telegraph Property Weekly, my constant study, is an advertisement for a house in Mickleover, in Bowland Close, for only £81,000. You get an absolutely superb three-bedroom detached property, entrance hall, downstairs WC, lounge, dining room, kitchen, utility room, bathroom in cashmere, and south-facing garden. Some kind of extraordinary bladder control requirement. This is actually from a local restaurant of mine in Islington, which I genuinely saw on a menu, which is very encouraging for those of us who are worried about bovine spongiform encephalopathy. And that is, we can now tell whether or not beef come from mad cows, because there was a dish there, which was organic steak, no less, from genuine certified Aberdeen Angus.
And at the end of all that, the final scores are Mark and Stephen, 15, well done, but Simon and Michael, this week's winners, with an even better earned 17, well done! Yay! And we end with this compassionate piece spotted in the Eastern Daily Press by Mrs. G. Harris of Great Yarmouth.
Industry chiefs are compensating a farmer for turning his white sheep black. Farmer Joe Hardwick of Bristol is furious that smoke from a factory dirties the fleeces of his 150-strong flock. The company, Savalco, admits its chimneys produce a certain amount of harmless soot and have awarded Mr. Hardwick compensation of a dishwasher and tumble dryer.
With that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz was Simon Hoggart, Stephen Fry, Michael Burke and Mark Stein. The chairman was Barry Took and the news was read by me, Katrina Young. The programme was written by John Langdon with the producer, Armando Iannucci.